The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example. For they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens hard to carry and lay them on people's shoulders, but they will not lift a finger to move them. All their works are performed to be seen. They widen their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love places of honor at banquets, seats of honor in synagogues, greetings in marketplaces, and the salutation, Rabbi. As for you, do not be called Rabbi. You have but one teacher, and you are all brothers. Call no one on earth your father. You have but one father in heaven. Do not be called master. You have but one master, the Christ. The greatest among you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted." The Gospel of the Lord. Throughout the scriptures, it uses the image of God as a creator or an artist. Sometimes in the Old Testament, it talks about us being like clay in the potter's hands, meant to be folded and shaped as God the Father desires. You may think of how God is like an artist, like a painter using many different colors, like the changing leaves of fall, or a beautiful sunrise, or a beautiful sunset, that he paints and uses his creation in us to create something great and beautiful. But more than being a potter or a painter, I like to think of God the Father as a sculptor. Because the story goes that for the great artist Michelangelo, when he was carving something out of marble like the great statue of David, he didn't see just a slab of marble. He said he would see the statue of David, and his job was just to chisel away everything that wasn't David. Now, I am not an artist. I cannot see a slab of marble like that, but I think it gives us a perspective on God as an artist when he sees us. He sees us as a beautiful creation, something unique that he wants to create for his glory and the good of the world. But when he looks at us, he sees all the things that aren't what he called us to be. See, the things that have kind of been added on and glommed onto our life, things that haven't quite been purified or chiseled away yet. But he wants to take away not so that we can have less, but so that we can become what we were made to be. So we can become that image and likeness of God. I would say that we can become the holy ones or the saints that he calls us to be. Like we celebrated on All Saints this last Wednesday. And so throughout our lives, he wants to chisel away, to take away those things that aren't us in all the holiness that God made us to be. In some ways, that's as simple as the calling that Jesus is giving his disciples and the crowds in today's gospel. That he's been speaking very harshly towards the scribes and the Pharisees, telling them how they're not really good people. They're not really following God. And yet at the beginning of the gospel today, he tells them to still listen to them. Still obey all the commands that the Pharisees and the scribes give them from the chair of Moses. Just listen to them, obey their commands, because that obedience trains us to be obedient to the call of God the Father. But that obedience is actually chiseling away our own pride and the things that keep us from God. But what does he say? But do not be like them. Do not act like them. Because they are so focused on themselves, of getting places of honor, on widening their phylacteries, which were these boxes that they wore on their heads, kind of showing how much they prayed and how lengthy their prayers could be. But the whole point for the scribes and Pharisees was to draw attention to themselves. That Jesus in the gospel wants to point us towards being more like Jesus than like the scribes and Pharisees. Part of that is chiseling away our desire to be noticed and to be important. Not that we're unimportant, but God is just saying, let us do his will above what we want. Let us choose to follow him instead of following and glorifying ourselves. Because that's always what Jesus did. That's what led him to do miracles. That's what led him to preach all throughout the Holy Land. It's ultimately what led him to the cross, was to simply be obedient to what the Father asked him to do. It was never about what he would have chosen or what he preferred, but always about saying yes to the Father's will. Brothers and sisters, we're called to do the same thing in our lives today, is to be obedient to that will of the Father and to get rid of anything that doesn't help us be the saints that he calls us to be. Last Sunday, Jesus reminded us that that can be said very simply, even if it's not easy to live it out, by loving God with everything that we have and loving our neighbor as ourselves. We do both of those things. We get rid of the things that aren't of God, and we love him with everything that we have through our stewardship way of life. Oftentimes we talk about kind of the three-legged stool of stewardship, of time, talent, and treasure. That it takes all of those things in equal measure. We can't kind of get one out of whack or say that, well, I'll just kind of give more treasure so I don't have to spend time in prayer. And all three of them are needed for us to live that life of God, the time spent with him in humble prayer each and every day, sharing our talents with God and neighbor to glorify him and help those around us. And a proportional and sacrificial gift on a regular basis, either weekly or monthly, to trust God with all that we have here in this world. Not because he wants us to be poor, but because it shows that he is the most important thing in our life. And when we give that donation in the Sunday collection, it's a way to say that he gets the first cut. He gets the first fruits rather than just what is extra. Using this image of God as a sculptor, I think we could say that stewardship is also like a three-sided chisel. That gift and commitment of time, talent, and treasure breaks away the things that aren't of God. It breaks through our pride that makes us want to have control of the things that we think are ours, our time, talent, and our treasure. It breaks through our selfishness by seeing that, yes, God gave those things to us, but they're also meant to be shared with those around us in need. Ultimately, they helped us to say, God, I will follow you above all things. I'll be obedient to you more than to myself or to the things of the world. Brothers and sisters, that's what I have found in my commitment to stewardship, especially in giving the gift of treasure. Making that commitment to make a regular and proportional tithe. That really, for most of my life, when I've been earning money, I've always put something in the collection basket. Don't literally do it now because I do it online and the magic technology does it. And initially I just gave that because I thought, well, it's good for me to give something back to God for the little money that I make. It's good for me to trust him and to provide for the needs of the church or the school. But as I have continued to do it, I've noticed that my contribution is actually very, very small compared to our parish's budget, compared to the amount of money we spend for the school and for everything in the church. My $80 each week really goes not very far. But if it was just about me giving that money because it would help provide for things of the church, well, I'm not providing very much at all. So I realize it's really not about what it provides for others. It's not even about if we can do more good things if I gave a little bit more. Instead, it's that in those weeks when it's hard for me to give that money because I had some extra expenses, it's a little bit harder because for whatever reason, I don't have the money that I usually have. That every year, two or three times a year, I kind of think, you know, I don't know that that's a good idea for me to give that donation this week. And honestly, brothers and sisters, I find that that is the most fruitful and powerful time to still make that gift of tithing. That it's in that moment that I say, but God, I don't trust in myself, or I don't even trust in this money to provide for what I need. but I trust perfectly in you. And I believe that if I follow you, that life is much better than anything I can provide for myself or anything that this money would buy. Especially when it's difficult, I give it back to you. I trust you with this, with all that I have. And I find that it's in those moments that God likes to chip away a little bit of the things that aren't making me holy. But it's in those moments when I really feel like God's saying, there's a little bit of selfishness that I'm getting out of Father Devin. There's a little bit of that desire for control or to do the things that he wants. That in little ways I'm chipping away that pride and helping him grow in humility and in the ability to receive the gifts that God wants to give. When using this image of God as a sculptor, I think those gifts of time, talent, and treasure help to break away the things that keep us from being holy. They reveal us to be the things that God made us to be and help us to live this life in joy and in peace. So brothers and sisters, as we renew our commitment to stewardship and continue to live it out each and every day, I continue to do that this week. The next Sunday, November 12th, is our Commitment Sunday, so you should have received the stewardship packets in the mail. Hopefully you've had a time to look at them and maybe even fill them out partially or to complete them. If you haven't yet, I just encourage you to spend some time this week and to ask God, how can this commitment of time, talent, and treasure help break away those things that are keeping you from him? All those ways that commitment of time, talent, and treasure can help you grow in humility and as a disciple of Christ. That as you make that commitment, I just ask you to pray for the grace to do it each and every day and every week. To continue to work with that grace of God so that you can start to see the fruit that he wants to bear in your life. That little by little, like a skilled sculptor, he will break away those things that are not what he truly made you to be. He'll break away those sinful things or those attachments to the world so that you can show forth his glory and become the saint that he's calling you to be. So that through our commitment of time, talent, and treasure, we won't just do things so that they provide for others crown in heaven. Instead, they will help us to be humble disciples of Christ here and now. To live out his call of love with everything that we have.